Now that the languages have been revived by humanistic study, they are bringing with them so bright a light and accomplishing such great things that the whole world stands amazed and has to acknowledge that we have the gospel just as pure and undefiled as the apostles had it. Right? The cutting-edge biblical scholarship of the humanists in the 16th century helps you cut through all this medieval allegory. Some of it's rather fanciful, some of it's way off base. You get right to the original meaning of the gospel text by knowing what the original meaning actually is in Greek instead of relying on bad late medieval Latin commentaries. That's the sense that Luther has here, is that this cutting-edge biblical scholarship reinforces your sense that you know what the text originally meant. You're not just imposing some fanciful symbolic reading on it. Turns out the great ally here is the humanist Erasmus, whom we will be talking about in the next lecture. He publishes the first printed edition of the New Testament, Erasmus does, in 1516, and Luther uses it immediately. In 1516, he's using it in his university lectures. He loves this, getting a printed text of the Greek New Testament. That's the kind of scholarship that he's taking advantage of, along with notes and commentary about the original meaning of the Greek that Erasmus gives. So this new access to the original language and meaning of the Greek texts helps you undermine traditional Catholic readings. Here's another quote about the languages from Luther. "This is why the scholastic theologians, the medieval theologians of the universities, have claimed that Scripture is obscure. They think God's word is inherently unclear and employs a peculiar style of speech, but they fail to realize that the whole trouble lies in their ignorance of the languages. If we understood the biblical languages, then nothing clearer could ever have been spoken than God's word." This is a new cultural situation. The Latin Bible of Luther's time was translated about 1,000 years earlier in a different Latin from the Latin that Luther's contemporaries are used to using. Most, you know, all the scholars in Western Europe who are reading the Bible are reading it in Latin primarily. Many of them don't understand the Latin of the old Latin translation. And in turn, that is based on translations from Greek and Hebrew that are sometimes not very clear. So you've got this sense of a book that really doesn't always make sense, and you need to sort of read something into it or make it figurative or symbolic in order to make sense of it. And Luther's thinking, no, now we can clear all that away and get to what the thing actually means, what it really said, what the Bible really meant for the apostles, pure and undefiled, get right back to the first century and understand what it really means. This alliance with cutting-edge biblical scholarship in the 16th century, an alliance between Protestantism and cutting-edge biblical scholarship, tended to be reinforced until about the 19th century, when you get a new trend in biblical scholarship, which has been called the historical critical method of biblical scholarship, a new emphasis on the original historical meaning of the Bible, and a scholarship in the 19th century in Germany which did tend to undermine traditional Protestant readings of the Bible. It questioned, for instance, whether Moses really did write all five books of the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Did Moses really write all that? 19th century biblical scholarship says no. It questions the historical accuracy of narratives in the Old Testament and even the New Testament. This is not something Protestants had expected out of biblical scholarship. They have to deal with it in the 19th century, and it causes a real crisis. Historical scholarship can undermine traditional Christian readings of the Bible. In fact, that's what Protestants were doing in the 16th century. They were using the historical scholarship of the humanists to undermine Catholic traditional readings. Now it's played back upon them in the 19th century, where academic scholarship in the German universities is undermining traditional Protestant readings. So what I think this actually brings out is that Protestant readings of the Bible are just as dependent on the Christian tradition as Catholic readings. And it seems to me that Protestant readings of the Bible will work better if Protestants are aware of the fact that they owe an immense amount to the Christian tradition, and that what's really going on in situations like the 19th century is that an intelligent tradition of Bible reading called Protestantism is dealing with an intelligent tradition of Bible reading called the academic, historical, critical, scholarly movement. And to think of those as two traditions that are learning from each other, criticizing each other, arguing with each other.